Thank you, Brother Cable. We're happy to see you here tonight, and we got probably as many out there as there is in here, more. But didn't bother me. I think the record that I've ever preached to in a revival, in the smallest of number, is 3. I preached a revival over at Davis, Oklahoma, to the pastor and his wife and a little boy. Well, I did my best. I thought, well, they're here. Some folks said, well, I'm not even bothered to have service. Oh, yeah, 3 souls worth more than the whole world. Well, I would appreciate you continuing to pray for me. Let me get rid of this cough drop. It helps a little bit. I don't want to be like the preacher that decided that the way he'd know how to gauge his sermon was he'd put a cough drop in his mouth, and when that cough drop was dissolved, his time to quit. That worked pretty good until one time he accidentally got a button in his mouth. So that didn't work too good. So I'll get rid of that cough drop. Amen. But we're glad to be here and be with you, and we're trusting God to answer prayer. Turn with us tonight in your Bibles or New Testament to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read about 3 verses, and then, but we'll be using the entire chapter for the basis of our message tonight. Romans chapter 8. And by the way, I'm going to thank his brother David, I believe, that responsible for the good meal that we had. And I hope it's not like the little boy I said the preacher came and about time for service, and the lady that was where he was staying wanted to get him some supper, and she said, oh, no. He said, no, if I preach before the service, it affects my preaching. And after it's over with, the little boy said, he might as well eat. So, but we do appreciate that good meal, brother. Brother David, it's real good. All right, now, get back to business, Tony Ross. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now drop down to the last statement of verse 9. The last sentence in verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And I want to endeavor to preach to you tonight on spirit control. Spirit control. Father, we bow in your presence one more time. Thank you for this good day of life with all of its blessings. Now, as we come to this portion of this service, we pray, Lord, that you would help us. Would you touch our voice, touch our body, touch our mind, touch our spirit, and bless every heart that is out there in this waiting congregation. And may you speak to us from your word tonight, Lord, and we'll give you the praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe you would agree with me tonight, but the plan of redemption of man involves the entire Trinity of God. We find, first of all, that God planned it. Before the foundation of the world, God had things all planned out. Jesus provided it with his blood on Calvary's brow. And the Holy Spirit promotes it, because Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but I will send him unto you. And so we find that the scripture tells us that it's a necessity to be saved from our sins, that we must be cleansed from the nature of sin, and that we must be spirit controlled and motivated by the Spirit of God. Some folks think, well, if I just get saved and if I go and get sanctified, then that's it. No, that's not it. That's not it. That's a great, wonderful beginning place. But we need to be spirit controlled. And there's an awful spirit in the world, but I'm talking about the blessed Holy Spirit of God. A child of God lives, he tells us in verse 1, without condemnation. And the reason is that he is spirit controlled, first in verse 1 and verse 4. A spirit controlled individual is one who walks after the Spirit. He said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, verse 1. Then in verse 4, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit, it covers both the negative and the positive. In the negative, it's that we don't walk after the flesh, the human, earthly things. The positive aspect is that we are free from the law of sin and death, and the soul that sins, it says, shall die. But we're free from the law of sin and death. And then if we walk after the Spirit, the writer here tells us that we will be spiritually minded. We will have life and peace. Look down at verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So we have to walk after the Spirit, with the Spirit, if we are to be spirit controlled. Then again there in that verse 13, if we are spirit controlled, we will have to live in the Spirit. It's not only enough to walk after the Spirit, but we'll need to live in the Spirit. It said, for if we live in the Spirit, at the flesh ye shall die, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And that by living in the Spirit, we are delivered from death. If we walk in the flesh, that soul shall die. And then we're governed by the Spirit. It said that we are to mortify the deeds of the body. We are to have discipline. I talked about discipleship last night. And Paul talked about it. It's not enough just to know we're saved and sanctified. And that's saying a lot. That means a lot. But also he said that I keep my body under. I control myself. And there's some things that if we make it, we're going to have to say no to. And we're going to have to say yes to something. I remember when Rob French came years ago when they had the tent there in Duncan out under the trees and preached. And that was the time when the Dairy Queens were just coming in. And you could buy an ice cream cone for a nickel. Those days are long gone, you know. But he said they were very conservative, God, the holy people. And he said, you're going to have to say no to the Spirit. To the flesh, and yes, to the Spirit. Said, sometime we'll be driving along, see one of those new Dairy Queen signs, and there's something down there will say, ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. And there's sometimes, he said, I just have to say, shut up, you're not getting any, and go right on down the road. You know, the times that we'll have to say yes, and times that we'll have to say no to the things. We mortify the deeds of the body. Paul said, I keep my body under. Not only do I have a crisis experience, but I keep in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. And then there is a daily commitment. The danger is to dwell in the past. You can't go back there. The danger is we cannot reach out into the future. We only can live in the now, in this hour. And so we are to daily commit ourselves to God. Say yes to God. And no to Satan. Some people need to just stand up and tell the devil sometimes, what is it about no that you don't understand? You know, no. And if we said strong enough, he might catch on a little bit. So if we're spirit control, we walk after the Spirit and we live in the Spirit. It's not something we just have part-time, and sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, but we live in the Spirit. Then if we are Spirit-controlled, we will be led by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We're children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And I've made this statement many times and still feel it so tonight, But I would hate to think I'd have to live 1 month, 1 week, 1 day, 1 hour on my own. I need God every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. We need him, and we can be led by the Spirit. Now, we'll not be driven by the Spirit, but we'll be led by the Spirit. No, God doesn't drive his children. He leads them, and then we can become the sons and daughters of God. And if we are led by the Spirit, we will have freedom from bondage. Look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we have freedom from bondage, and we receive the spirit of adoption. Abba, Father. Be able to call him my Father, my Father. We belong to him. Then we are led by the Spirit. Not only are we the children of God, sons and daughters of God, and we have freedom from bondage and have the spirit of adoption upon us where we can approach the Almighty Father, then we have the witness of his Spirit. In verse 16, it said, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How to do that? By being Spirit controlled and motivated. His Spirit bears with us, with our spirit, that we are the children of God. When I was 15, I just got in, and when I was 14, I got gloriously sanctified in a youth camp. And my father didn't go to church. Occasionally, he didn't love to have the preachers come to the house. Mother fixed dinner. He was having some physical problem. Now, I wished I could go back. Remember now, I'm just a 15-year-old boy. I can still see in my mind's eye, 2 miles west of Duncan, Oklahoma, out there on the farm, and there just inside the yard gate, we had a fence around the house and yard. My dad said, Tony, how can you know that you're saved? And I said, well, Daddy, I really don't know how to tell you, but you can just know that you're saved. Now, if I had go back, I believe I could give a little better answer to him, but that's the best that a 15-year-old boy could give to him. But I'm glad we can know. Hi, his spirit abides, witnesses, our spirit, that we are the children of God. We have the witness. The Holy Spirit tells us we belong to God. Now, we like to have the approval and the approbation of other people. Well, the pastor, you say any old dog appreciates a pat on the head anytime, you know. We like that. And that's nothing wrong with that. But where people approve or disapprove, that doesn't change our situation with God one bit. He knows his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if we're spirit controlled, we'll be led by the Spirit of God. And if we stay in the Spirit, it'll lead us into things maybe that we really don't want or necessarily appreciate. For I find here in this chapter that if we're Spirit controlled, we will have to suffer in the Spirit. I don't think anybody, well, I've seen a few folk that I thought that they like to be sick. But sometimes I said I've seen some folk, if God would make them half as sick as they claim to be, they'd cure them, you know. But we just don't like to suffer. I don't pray, Lord, send me something, give me a bad day. I just don't pray that way. I'm not interested in that. But if we are spirit controlled, we will suffer in the Spirit. Why? Because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Look down to verse 17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And no doubt there's some things that we'll have in life that will draw us closer to the Lord that will never come to pass unless there is some suffering in our life. You can suffer A lot of people think suffering is just physical suffering, but it's more than that. There's suffering in the mind. There's suffering in the things that people do to us or not do not do to us, suffering that we're suffering. We like to be, as I said, like to be approved of one another. Thank God for the privilege of being a part of the family of God. But we'll suffer because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And because of that relationship with him, there will be some suffering in our life. So don't get despondent, discouraged, and throw up your hands when suffering comes. Have you ever had that day when you said, I don't know how anything else could go wrong? But it did. I mean, look like everything, just one right after, just one a misfortune, unhappy thing happened in your life, and you don't understand why. Because of this relationship, we must suffer with him. But also, if we suffer, did you notice there he said, if we suffer, we shall be glorified in him. Did I read it? Say where I read it? For we have that earnest expectation of the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So if we suffer, we'll be glorified with him. I can't comprehend that. Well, the Bible tells us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. And so the best is yet to come. When we were on the district years ago, we were out there in Clovis, New Mexico, one of the ladies would always tell us, said, keep your fork, the best is yet to come. Someone said they ought to bury her with a fork in her casket with us, and the best is yet to come. And so if we suffer with him, we will be glorified with him. And that suffering presently will be nothing compared to the glory that he gives unto us. No doubt every one of us here tonight are where we are partly because we have had to suffer some things with him. And a lot of people say suffering, we think of physical. But I've suffered a lot more than I have in physical. You know, you can suffer in words, unkind things done, unkind words said. That saying used to be, stick and stone can break my bones, but words never can. That's not so. No, I guarantee every one of you can think just a little bit in your life that's where the greatest suffering you had. Maybe it was not physical suffering, but it may have been from someone else. It might even been a loved one. It might even been a so-called brother or sister in the Lord that thing came your way and things that were said unto you. So if we are spirit controlled, we will suffer in the spirit. But there's good news about that. As a result of that, we'll find if we're spirit controlled, there will be the fruits of the spirit. Look down at verse 23. And not only they, but we, that ourselves also, which have the fruit, first fruit of the spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of our body. Oh yes, groaned. You ever get homesick for heaven? I believe God allows suffering sometimes to help us keep cut loose. I had a layman one time said, Brother, you made a statement one time and from the pulpit, and it's always stayed with me. He said, you remember what it was? Well, man, I made hundreds of statements from the pulpit that he heard. And I said, well, I don't know really what you're talking about. He said that you made the statement you wanted to live in this world that you could just turn completely around and there wasn't anything holding you here, that you had an upward pull. And may God help us. We groan for the redemption of our body, our glorified body, beyond hurt, beyond harm, beyond sickness, beyond pain, beyond the misunderstanding. And it gives us hope of patience. Look at verse 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if ye hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So if we are spirit controlled, the spirit and the fruit of the spirit in our lives will give us to be patient. Patience. I don't know. my definition of thought is very good or not, but I made the statement. I believe patience is the ability that God gives us to put ourselves in neutral and get our foot off of the accelerator when we feel like putting in gear and stripping gears. Patience, just wait, do nothing. I remember years ago when Brother J.E. Cook was our pastor, and Bobby Key, a young man in the church, just gotten saved in a revival and got sanctified, and he worked on the oil field. Chester Raines was the driller. And the man on that crew liked to pull jokes on people, but he didn't like them pull back on him. But they made it up one time. They'd be putting a long stem bit, drill bit down into the ground. And while it was drilling, take maybe, I don't know, depends on the soil, 30 minutes to an hour maybe, so they'd get down and he'd have to call the crew out and put another joint of pipe on. Well, they had a little old doghouse like where they'd go in there and just kind of stretch out. And most of the time they just didn't lace up their boots. They just would kick them off and lay over in that bunk. And then Chester would call them, fall out. And they'd go and they'd just fall and put their feet in their boots and go out. Well, these guys, I said, we're going to fix this guy. He always likes to play jokes on others, but doesn't like to win. So while they got him asleep and the noise on that rig, they took a nail and a hammer and nailed his boots to that deck, wood deck on that drill foot. And he called out and fall out, and he slid in his boots and went out, and when he just fell flat on his face. And when he got up and got out, the first one he came to was Bobby Key, doubled up his fist and hit him upside the head. And so that kind of bothered Bobby Key. Brother Cook told me this, said there the next morning when they got off the morning shift, said I was in my study and the knock came on my door. I went to the door and Bobby Key was there and said, Brother Cook, could I talk to you a minute? And he said, well, sure, come in, Bobby. And said, and he told Brother Cook just exactly what I've told you. And then he asked him, he said, Brother Cook, what should I have done? Well, he said, Bobby, what did you do? He said, I didn't do anything. Brother Cook said, that's what you should have done. Patience. Patience. And we don't patience a lot of times. Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. You know, but patience doesn't come that way. It has to be suffering if we are to have patience. But in verse 24 and 25. Did I read that to you? But we hope for that which we see not, but do we with patience wait for it. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, we know that. Galatians, what is it? We used to say, what are the fruits of the Spirit? But that's not so. It's singular. The fruit of the Spirit. It contains different things, but it's just one fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Galatians 5, it's love. It's peace. It's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives. If we're Spirit-controlled, we'll have the fruit of the Spirit. But let me move on quickly. And look in verse 26, it tells us we'll have the helps of the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He helps our infirmities. My wife said many times, and I agree with her, she said, every one of us have our flat side. Every one of us have a flat side and where we can need to work on it and make improvement on it. But he helps our infirmities. He said, you really don't know how to pray as you should. But we do know that we have the example of prayer. Jesus prayed the prayer. And the outstanding prayer that he prayed was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And incidentally, the battle for the souls of men and salvation was not necessarily won on the cross. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus said, "Father, if it be possible, that this cup can pass for me. If not, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done." And so if we're to have the help of the Spirit to help our infirmities, well, they got to get to the place, "Lord, I'd like to see this come to pass. I'd like for you to do this, Lord, but not my will, but thy will be done." And the thing that we learn is when we can learn to back off. You know, we like to be in control. We like to be at the steering wheel. All right. But every now and then we'll just have to back off and say, "Lord, I can't handle it. You have to take over control." I've seen the bumper sticker, and I believe they meant well, for they said, "God is my co-pilot." But that's not true. God is not our co-pilot. The co-pilot is number two in command. It needs to read, "God is my pilot." Oh, yes, he's in the control. He calls the shot. He tells us what to do. "Not my will, thy will be done." And then he helps our intercessions. Let me read verse 27. "And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He searches our heart, and he knows our mind. He knows our spirit, and he intercedes in behalf of us according to the will of God. And then I believe that he helps our intercession when we can't put it into words. I believe some of the best praying that I've ever done was when I didn't say one word. Couldn't say one word. And I used to, in the pastorate, make a habit to go to a study in the morning. And all the time, and it's like you are here, I could pray for different people by knowing where they sit. But a lot of times I like to just would lie down on the floor between the altar and the platform and pray. And there's been a few times that I couldn't get words to come out. But all I could do was groan in the Spirit. But I'm glad that the Spirit would intercede in behalf, and he'd take that groan and bear it to the throne room, bound to the right hand of the Father and the Son, said, "This is what he's wanting. This is what he's saying. And Jesus, in behalf of your son, the child that you died for, Father, grant his petition to him." And I didn't say a word, but with groanings. Have you got to mean where you say all of a sudden the burden just kind of lifted? And you could see out again? How is that? The help of the Spirit. He doesn't leave us all alone. He's there to help us all the way through. I'm talking about being Spirit motivated and directed and controlled. In verse 28, we know that all things work together. We know that, Romans 8:28. This great verse, we know that all things work together to good. He didn't say all things were good, but we know that all things, how could any good come out of that? I don't know, but he said, "For all things work together to good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And so we can stand on that he will bring us through. Then last thought I'd leave with you tonight on being Spirit-directed is the sufficiency of the Spirit. Look down in verse 31. "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We have, and sufficiency means adequate. It means ample. It means plenty, enough, satisfaction. And so we have the sufficiency of the Spirit, because if God is for us, nobody else can really be. They may be against us, but they're not going to succeed. You just remember this. We're living in a dark hour, uncertain times. Don't know what the future may hold. But we know who holds the future. And remember, God is still on the throne. And God is still in control. And it's going to come out just exactly like he said it would in his book. And then he said, why? They made a lot of accusations. People are saying, and I deny it, not guilty. They say, well, the Christians is the trouble. No, that's not the trouble. It's the sinners in the world that's the trouble. But we can, he said, who can charge anything against us? And who can condemn us if we've been put under the blood? Who can separate us from God? And then he gives those wonderful things on down there. We know it. We read, he said, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distresses, persecution, famine, nakedness, that means without food, without clothing, without shelter, peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to the sport of the slaughter. Lord, we're in your hands. You do what you want to with us. Nay, he said, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, or depths, or any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be more than conquerors. Why? We have the Spirit to lead us and guide us. We can feel his direction, God. Remind me of the story, and you probably heard it. The little boy was flying a kite one day, and it was cloudy, windy, cloudy. And all that the sea was up through the clouds of string. A fellow came along and said, what are you doing, sonny? He said, I'm flying my kite. We said, I don't see any kite. Do you got a kite up there? Yeah, my kite's up there. How do you know it's up there? He said, I can feel the tug, the pull on the string. And though the clouds may hover low sometimes, you keep that upward tie on God and the Holy Spirit to be spirit motivated and guided and directed and blessed, and he will see us through. Bless his wonderful name. Let's stand together. Amen. Brother Ronald Johnson, pray for us. We go tonight. Yes, good Lord.
Serve you, reverence you, and draw so close to you, Lord, and Savior, that we'll even realize more and more how miraculous thy love and thy sacrifice and thy covenant and thy goodness and thy mercy to humanity.
Yes, Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed. It's all right. God just peeled it up and dropped it, hit the floor. Oh. Somewhere. It's hard to see a yellow one. That's all right. I don't want someone to step on it and run it into the carpet. It did.
Great message, dear.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
special prayer for me. God will touch me and get me over this.
All right, sir.
It's just hard to. When you know that you're bad, it's hard to.
Lord Jesus.